When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And this week we are covering the movie Paranorman. Ooh. Spooky.
Weird and spooky month continues.
Weird and spooky month continues. And we are joined by a hilarious comedian and friend, may I say. Whoop, Claire it is. We've got Claire Belford here.
Hi.
That's my favorite joke that Claire does.
Thank you.
Well, maybe not my favorite. It's just so good.
Thank you so much.
So silly. I love it.
That was a perfect intro. You asked me what I wanted you to say, and I kept the friend was at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. So I'm really glad you
I don't
said
want
it.
To impose.
Yeah. Are we friends? I don't know. No, I normally just, I'm like, I'm going to say it, and you're just going to have to take me aside afterwards.
Have to live with it.
Yeah. And just be like, actually.
We're more work friends.
Yeah, we're more like colleagues.
Funny comedian and work friend.
And work friend. Work friend. Oh, God. And we are, guys, we're covering Paranorman. I'm so excited.
I am too.
We always ask our guest what their relationship with the movie is. Now, we gave this one to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, had you seen this movie before?
Never even heard of it.
Boom. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
I was nervous. Honestly, I was nervous because I can't do scary movies.
Oh, okay.
So I saw Paranorman and I was like, oh no, am I going to have to tell him I can't? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, this will be fine.
Children's movie, scary.
Still was scary for me, but.
Yeah. But still, like, super cute and fun and gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
I loved watching it
from
just
the opening
like visually.
Credits. Yeah, it was
like
blew me away.
So pretty.
Yeah, all the stop motion.
It was my first watch too. Craig, not yours.
I had seen it. I saw this in theaters actually, but did not remember a lot about it. Like the big twist that we'll get to, the big reveal. I was like, oh yeah, this. So it was like really fun to revisit because I was like, oh man, yeah, this like the characters are fun and like visually, as you said, it's great to look at. And I was like, but I've forgotten a lot of details of this. So it was like fun to revisit for sure.
Amazing. Guys, if you haven't seen Paranorman, first of all, you should watch it. Just watch it and don't even listen to my description. It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm going to try and do this as tightly as possible. We have a small boy, Norman, that can speak to dead people. And he doesn't really like talking to normal people because it's just like they get mad at him for talking to dead people, which makes sense. His dad's kind of super against it. He talks to his grandmother all the time. His mom is kind of the in-between, like, oh, he's scared of what's going on, don't worry about it. And honestly, who wouldn't be? My God. Paranorman then it gets I'm gonna call him Paranorman.
Yeah, I feel like
we can, right? Anyway, Norman gets contacted by another man. I kept calling him Mister. I should have written down his whole name, but all my notes just say Mister.
But it was his uncle.
It was his uncle. Anyway, so his uncle,
estranged
uncle, contacts him and is basically like, listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I've been keeping this town alive for decades. And I need you to do it now because I'm going to die. And if you don't read this book to the witch that put a curse on this town, the zombies rise and then there's going to be big problems. And he's like, no. And then he's like, I guess, okay, maybe. I mean, we got to for the movie plot line. We got to continue. So his uncle dies. He collects the book. realizes it's just a children's tale, which seems weird. And then throughout the story, we find out the witch was actually a child who could also speak to dead people. And that's why they killed her, which is dark for a kid's movie. But here we are. So the curse is actually the townspeople that killed her are rising from the dead, are the zombies. And that's kind of what's been taking over this town. And Norman's like, no, we've got to put a stop to the whole thing because this really isn't solving anything, which I really enjoy that can-do attitude. Yeah. I mean, I really, you don't see that a lot in movie characters a lot where it's just like, why don't we just fix the whole problem?
Hot take though. I don't think I'd be solving the whole problem my first year out.
Oh my God. I can't wait to hear. Yes. Fucking phenomenal. Absolutely. Not. Yeah. You're a rookie kid. Yeah. This guy shows up. He's like, I'm going to fix this company. Yeah. I'm going to fix this corporation.
First day shows up, tells everyone what to do. Come on.
That is that like first day hubris.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Oh my God. That's change so fun. I want to dig
gonna
into
get in
that.
From the inside.
God, we're going to dig into that big. I love that. Okay. Anyway, obviously, Norman and the witch basically, I don't know, they kind of contact. I don't know how to describe that. It's like they kind of fall into each other. They're one entity. They're kind of together in a sense. And then he talks her out of this curse, basically. Is like, listen, like they did something bad to you, but there's nice people in the world. You need to... be nice
focus on the negatives.
Yeah, don't focus on the negatives, which is also a lesson that he needed to learn.
So true.
Which was nice. And, you know, happy.
Yeah, curse is broken.
Curse is broken.
She dies properly.
She does. Yeah, which is, again, dark.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're fully dead now.
You're fully dead now. Disappear. It always reminds me of the snap. Every time I see it now, I'm always like the
Thanos snap?
Thanos snap. Like when people just kind of float and I'm like, there it is. Yeah. In tremendous pain. This is the worst. You hate this.
Yeah, and like all children's movie, it has the happy ending that involves the death of a child.
It's what we like. Yeah. It's what we're here for. And guys, before we get to who we believe the villains are of this movie, we would like to thank our sponsor, TeePublic. Guys, you've heard of TeePublic.
Yeah, TeePublic. It's if not, TeePublic.com. Guys, this is where you're going to find your next great tea. Whatever you're into, whatever sort of weird, paranormal, Halloween-y sort of thing you want on a shirt, a phone case, a tank top, whatever it is, you can find it at TeePublic.com. We have our own store. We actually just recently added one of our own designs. We have had so many people contact us that they have almost crashed their car or have coworkers that look at them weird because they're laughing so hard at the podcast that we have put up a workplace health and safety sticker warning about the villain was right and how you should not operate heavy machinery and all the rest. So if you want to get that on a mug, you absolutely can. Or, you know, maybe our logo or one of the other thousands of other designs where independent artists get fair compensation for the designs they do.
Hell yeah. So head on over to vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all of our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com. And thank you, TeePublic, again for your support. And now it is time to talk about the villains.
Great ad, though.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I was also like, at first I was like, what kind of tea? Like, I was like, is it like the drink tea?
Oh, yeah. No, like,
we're
t-shirt.
No, we're getting teas.
You know what I find most funny about that compliment is we are absolutely going to leave that compliment in for for our patrons who pay not to hear the ads.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to go over. If you want to listen to this ad,
you're
going to have to go.
You're missing out the high-quality ad reads that we're doing here.
Yeah.
So we're leaving leaving the compliment in. They'll have no idea what we're talking about.
There should be, like, a secondary Patreon to hear
the ads alone. Yeah. Just all the ads back-to-back. Fucking hilarious. Oh, my God. Okay, so who do we believe... villain and villains are, I believe, I would...
There's
I would,
a lot of villains.
That was the hard part. Yeah. I was like, there's so many.
No, but, and that's great. And we love a movie like that.
Okay.
We can be watching all villains. Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say The Witch, who we learned her name is Aggie.
Aggie, yes.
Aggie Pendergrass, which also suggests that she is related to Norman.
Yeah, it also suggests that if you call your kid Aggie or any of that, you're going to be a witch. You're going to be a witch. Okay, don't do this.
But that's such a good point. But they also made it a little bit less like direct. Like, wasn't his last name Babcock?
It is, but his uncle's name was Pendergrass.
Yeah.
So like you had to kind of connect the dots, but I don't think they ever said it.
Yeah, it was a little more ambiguous, but it was,
It felt like maybe they cut the like, it's your family and your legacy thing, because they're like, oh, right, it's stop motion. That's a nightmare. We need to cut some scenes. It's going to shave months off of our production schedule.
Did you watch the post credits where they show how they make him?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. At the end, if you watch all the way to the end, because I always, I'm just like a big, I'll just skip all the way.
Back there?
But like maybe there's something. Yeah. And I like to see the little treat at the end. and they did like a thing where they just stop motioned the making of him, and it was just really cool to watch.
Yeah. Oh,
like the molds and the wires and the, you know, whatever goo they put in. I don't know what it is. Some sort of I don't know. Anyway.
Stop motion goo.
Yeah, stop motion goo. It was, I don't know. I thought it was sick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a, we covered as a bonus, Kobo and the Two Strings.
That same movie, sort of gorgeous. Thing. And like, Claire, have you seen that?
No.
Oh, girl, you got to get on that. Stop motion? That's a good one. Oh, if you like this, you'll love that. Because it's like, I would say it's like more like whimsical, like
it's
little
not scary.
Less.
No scariness.
Yeah, it's like, it's magic. Yeah. It's family. Yeah. It's like kind of more of an adventure.
It's Kobo and something, something.
Kobo and the Two Strings.
It's really good. Strings. It's gorgeous.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Highly recommend it. But anyway, back to the villains. No, I agree with all this. I'm also going to throw out the villagers. Or
big time. They were like my biggest villain.
Yes.
So the seven accusers who the witch is put to death.
Yes.
And she curses them. What was it? They curses them horrible deaths and to rise from the grave forever. And this is like a story that they tell in the town forever.
But I was even going to say, like, present day village or like the townspeople.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Garbage people.
Yes. and the father to a certain degree. Like, yes.
And it's funny, like, watching this movie through the framework of knowing, like, I'm doing this podcast on it. I'm like, the whole movie, I'm like, are they the villain? Is that the villain? Like, that's kind of shitty. It's kind of shitty that you would do that.
Yes. Welcome to the jail we've put ourselves in. Okay, I gotta tell you, it doesn't matter if I'm watching it for this podcast or not. That's all I'm thinking about the whole fucking time I watch a goddamn movie now.
Yeah.
I've ruined movies. It's fine. I'm in it now. It honestly makes it a little funner for me now, because it just makes me feel like I'm in debate class with my own self. I just sit there and I debate every angle of every movie now, and I'm like, I think it's made me, I don't know, maybe a little more well-rounded.
Yeah.
I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking at everyone's perspective. But yeah, here's what I want to pitch, okay?
Yeah.
I want to start with the witch, because I think, like, generally, like...
She's, like, the big bad, sort of.
She's the big bad, and the movie still views it like she had to learn a lesson. And I don't think she needed to. Be petty, okay? Be petty, bitch. Okay, you were a child, okay?
Yeah.
You could hear dead people. That could have been your fucking imagination.
I know.
She's a child.
There was a moment when the dad, like, they're driving home from something, and he's so fed up with Norman talking to dead people. He's like, you're grounded. I'm like, imagine a dad dealing with his son's hallucinations by grounding him?
Yes, yeah. Wild.
Bad fathering.
No, that's not good. Fathering. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not good. He doesn't have the tools to deal with this, very obviously.
Yeah. Like, even if he didn't see dead people, which we know that he does, and he's just like, this is clearly a kid who is retreating inward.
Yeah, when I say hallucinations, I mean, like, from the dad's point of view.
Yeah. And to say that, as a father, for the solution to that be, like...
yell at him and ground him.
Yell at him and ground him. Isolate him more from people is what that child needs.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
Yeah, so definitely bad there. But yeah, I agree.
Be petty. This idea, and like, I get it.
This is a child that was put to death by the state. and then 300 years later, the town has built an entire economy around this story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And I love this note right at the beginning where it's like they're doing the pageant, which sort of like the school pageant, which sort of introduces the story of the curse and the witch and everything like that. And the teacher says explicitly, someone says, why does the witch always have to be like this old crone or whatever? Like, why can't she be beautiful or whatever?
Yeah.
And the teacher goes, this history is not historically accurate. It is designed to sell keychains and like mugs and things like that. And I was just like, oh, that's the entire point of the town is like this terrible, terrible, terrible thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, should be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. We memorialize it every year, but like heads down.
Absolutely commodified it and just like resist any, like criticism of that.
Criticism or like mea culpa, like, you know, just like our bad.
Yeah. Maybe put up a plaque or something. Call it a day.
Instead, you know what they put up? A welcome to, like, I forget what the town's name is, but they're like, welcome to this place. A great place to hang out.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And it's a picture of a witch
hanging
from the neck, smiling.
I would call that in bad taste. That's in bad taste. Okay. Also, that's just in bad taste for your own citizens. You know what I mean? Oh, anybody dealing with any sort of problems. I'm like, I don't think I'd want to be walking by that every fucking day. I'll tell you that for free.
No.
But this witch, I'm like, girl, I understand that the message is you got to focus on the nice people, okay? And don't let the bad people turn you bad, all right? But, like, she was only really being bad to bad people, so probably fine.
But she did start, like, she was taking it out on everyone at the end.
The town that's profiteering off of her image.
But even Norman, who's trying to help her, he's, like, climbing up on the ladder. She shoots him down with lightning or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm down. Fuck that kid.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, but a great point is like you're like she's going a little nuts. Like they're trying to find because at that point they're trying to find out where she's buried. Because also, oh by the way, she was killed by the state, deemed not to be a person and buried in an unmarked grave.
Oh, the not to be a person, witches aren't people. And I was like, oh no.
A child. Which is why it's fairy tales that you have to read her because it puts her back to sleep because she's a child.
Yeah.
But when she's like shooting lightning at the town hall and like burning, that is when the townspeople are going the most nuts.
Yes.
Where they're literally pitchforks and torches in their hands.
Yeah, full mob.
Full mob mentality, which is exactly the mentality that caused her to be murdered in the first place.
Two zombies who are cowering, by the way. Like, they don't want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not into this.
Yeah.
Okay. And at no point, the entire time I was watching these zombies, like, I literally, I think mostly because of this podcast, called that they were good.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh,
this
right
is
away.
So fast.
I said that.
There's like, whatever.
They're trying to help.
this fucking zombie, I'm like, this zombie just needs your insurance. You ran him over. Okay?
Yeah.
He needs your insurance.
Like, and also in that moment, I was like, thank God that was a zombie because that could have just been a regular
guy that you
killed by running over with the van.
Literally, pure violence on sight.
But I would not go so far as to say that these zombies are good or trying to help because let us remember that the reason that they are coming back is because they were the people who 300 years ago accused a child.
Oh, yeah. But I'm pretty sure those people are now like, my bad.
Well, that's it. That's it. This story, there's like, there's so many villains and there's so many stories of redemption or like of I don't know, coming to Jesus moments or whatever. Like, there's people realize their mistakes a lot.
Yeah. But I do love a line that Norman says where he says to Aggie, what they did is unforgivable. These people cannot be forgiven what they did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they feel sorry now, but also because you sort of punished them for their ways.
Yes. Yeah.
If she had not done that,
if she had not cursed them
and, like, also as we see it kind of like a self-defense spontaneous, like, eruption of lightning or something that kills them, right? Because she's afraid. But they would have gone on with their lives 300 years ago and been like, we did the right thing. putting that child to death. You know? So I'm not going to go so far as to say they're good or they're helping.
Oh, no. I was just saying, like,
learned a lesson, though.
In the views of the townspeople,
they're not there to make probably, things worse at this point.
Yeah, like, I probably don't think it's good that the townspeople's instinct is like, we gotta kick the fuck out of these guys. Like, when, you know what I mean? Certain body language is indicating. Are they bad? Absolutely, because I'm team witch, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You know what just I put together, though, too, was, like, the zombies, they say, like, we did this because we were scared. And then, but earlier, or maybe it was later, but at one point in the movie, it really stuck out to me. I really liked the quote the grandma said to Norman, it's okay to be scared as long as you don't let it change who you are.
Oh.
Which is like, really connects a lot of things in the movie. Like, the townspeople are being this way because they're scared, but they're also like, they're submitting to this mob mentality and they're forgetting, like, I don't know, hopefully they have some good in them. You know, they're forgetting that completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the themes of this movie really hold up well.
They're great.
Yeah. Like, be yourself, be brave, stand up for what is good, even when other people,
Like, even your, like, what you were saying about how he's like, what they did was unforgivable. It's like, yeah, there's a, now I'm obviously arguing be petty and what have you, but aside from that, it's like a,
be petty.
But as a good lesson, like, the trauma that people inflict on you or whatever, like, not obviously killing, but like in a larger sense of like, okay, if people have done things that are unforgivable to you, you don't have to forgive them, but you can release the trauma for you.
Yeah.
You can try and do that. You can try and do that, but just for you. Yeah. It's not for them. Fuck them.
Yeah. And I think that the movie kind of, like,
oh no, really does that.
Yeah,
because if, like, we're not on this podcast, yes, it does.
No, fuck these zombie people.
Yes,
they got what they were deserving for to beat her ass. Because the other thing was, like, you read the book and it just puts her to sleep for another year, right? Like, as we said, it doesn't resolve anything.
No.
And when she finally wakes up because his uncle really screwed the pooch, and I'd like to get into that in a bit. But when she does finally wake up, she's like, I don't want to sleep anymore.
Yeah.
I'm angry and I want to...
Oh, buddy. I tell you, if I woke up from a year nap, I'd be in an enraged. I'd stomp down a city. No problem.
Oh my god.
If
people just kept putting me to sleep when I was trying to do shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I'd take it out. I'm not good. Especially for that, like, first, like, if I've had a nap or if I'm sleeping or something, for that, like, first 5-10 minutes, like, I'm not even myself, man. Might not even be this little girl. It's just her. Like, she's like, listen, you woke me up from a coma, dude. Like, I don't know what you want from me. I'm fucking hungry. I'm sore as hell. Okay. You guys got to put me in a better position when you're laying me down. This is fucked. Okay. Like, there's, like, a couple of things that need to change here.
Yeah. She's waking up with the don't talk to me till I have my coffee mug.
Oh, God. I hate that that's a thing, but that is so my fucking attitude. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, every time I see that, I'm like, I hate that you're wearing that, but, like, I fucking understand. Anyway, so you said you want to talk about, like, we could just jump it. Let's bounce around. Let's talk about this uncle.
I think Uncle Pendergrast, one, I don't think he played by the, but John Goodman.
John
by
Goodman.
This
cast
is
the cast of the movie.
Stacked.
Oh my God.
What is this, Crossroads?
So
oh my God. what a cast.
So he's like this, he's like the uncle. He's kind of like outcast, like, from society, because he also has the ability to see and speak to dead people, right? And it's been his job to read this book above the grave to stop the witch from enacting her curse on the town. And at the start of the movie, he is alive and he is trying to convince Norman to, like, take up the mantle. Like, you have to learn how to do this because you also have this ability. Like, she only will listen to people who can talk to the dead, and that's why you have to do it. And then he dies. Like, just from natural causes.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've learned previously, it's like, what causes ghosts in this, right? And Norman says, like, it's when people don't have like unfinished, when they have unfinished business or they've died violently.
Which is classic ghost.
Classic ghost.
That's classic ghost.
Grandma's.
Textbook ghost.
Yeah.
Grandma's still around, as we learned, because she promised to take care of Norman.
Yes.
Which is very sweet. But Prendergast stays around because he's got the unfinished business of getting Norman to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then disappears the second Norman says, sure, I'll do it.
Oh, that drove me crazy. It's like, go with him.
Right? The afterlife.
Your business is not finished.
Thank you.
Hand it off to a 12-year-old and take off?
Yeah, like, yeah, you got. There's a little follow-through on that.
Yeah.
You know? Where is she buried? Information not communicated to the
12-year-old. Or like a little post-it on the book, man.
For sure.
Go here.
Yeah, yeah.
A little map or something. You know what I mean?
Even
general information around.
Even going with the child.
Yeah.
To your horrible little shack where you've been squatting for the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah. My God.
To
yeah.
retrieve the book from your own corpse.
I will say it was really funny.
Could, like, comfort that child a little bit.
I found it really funny how that was just like, okay, there's just a dead body in that house and that is not going to get resolved.
He's like, yep, starting to smell.
Yeah.
Get here quick, bud.
He wrestles the book out of his hands and leaves, never revisits.
Never
that
calls
dead body.
A person.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Nobody like gets somebody to go pick him up or whatever. It's just like, hey, man.
I got shit to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Living those floorboards, I guess.
That really bothers me now that you pointed out that that's an unresolved plot point. Where, well, like, at no point did Norman be like, by the way,
Uncle Frederick's dead.
Yeah.
Although I do feel like he had limited time.
Oh,
he really had to get it popping.
He did.
Okay.
He did.
He had to get it going. And to be fair to this kid, he sees dead people every fucking day.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, seeing a dead bot, it probably just be like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like,
it was wild how it resulted in he ended up with his uncle's tongue on him.
Tongue
on his face.
Well, we sort of talked about this in our Goonies episode, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's very much played for laughs that a corpse is falling on a child.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's really quite disturbing.
I was not okay with that. Like I said, not okay. That was a scary point for me.
But yeah, absolutely, his business was not finished.
No.
Like grandma's sticking around for, I mean, maybe until Norman's 18.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know when you get emancipated from being a ghost protecting a kid. But like,
I'm gonna argue as soon as you start masturbating. That's where I think
that's when you're like, okay.
I think that's when I'm out. It's me, like, I think that's when I'm out. Like, buddy, I can flow through walls. I don't think I could be a part of this.
I just love that scene though in the movie. It's like, oh, they start feeling around under the covers and they think they're alone at night. And Spectre Grandma's just sitting there and like knowingly looks over, sees all that movement on their sheets and goes, you know what? I think Norman's going to be all right. Just dissolves into the ether.
Yeah, I think that would be my moment out.
Yeah.
If I'm going to call it, you know?
Peace.
This point has nothing to do with any villains, but I just really want to say Neil is perfect.
I absolutely love Neil.
Yeah.
He is a sweet treasure.
Yeah. Kind of the best friend character.
Yes, he's so funny. He's flawless.
Yeah, so flawless, exactly. Just so
he's just like, listen, people are doing the same stuff to both of us. We're friends.
Yeah.
We're friends now, and I'm going to make you be friends with me because you need a friend.
So cute.
The stick throwing
the
scene,
stick throwing.
Where he's like, just throw the stick. It's like, no, it's okay. You can throw it. I just took like 50 turns. You can throw a stick. Okay, well, how do I do it? It's a stick.
He's like,
just
pull it back. Yeah, you tell him to pull it back.
And then it like beans him in the head, and it's like a great little scene.
So cute. I just love him being like, oh no, I'm not gonna go to the cemetery. But you want to play after?
Such a fun character.
No, that kid's fire. Yeah.
The secondary characters in this are really, really, really
so good.
Fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like the brother and the sister.
Yeah.
The brother, I do want to say, and this is like very Toronto comedy niche, remarkably, like just so much reminded me of Bobby Warner. Just if you just go look, follow Bobby Warner. He's a very funny comic, but yeah, he's exactly the older
No, that's
brother.
Valid. Yeah. Tattooed, yes.
Yeah, the voice, the just yeah. the demeanor. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. 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 Mitch was like, I was like expecting him to be the like mean older jock brother, yeah. you know? And like he was kind of the dumb one, mm-hmm. but he was never mean to Neil.
No.
Was the thing. It's like, oh, and I think we would have hated him if he was, because yeah. Neil is so good. Oh,
he's yeah. precious. But he's like, just too cute.
Just yeah. opening the door in his towel and being yeah. like, Neil, there's somebody to see you. Like, and like, no, I'm gonna go with Neil. I'm gonna protect mm-hmm. him. And like, yeah, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. this is what we wanted an older brother, you know?
There was a moment where I was like, is it the older sister? Is she the villain? Like, I thought that she was quite a bitch.
Yeah, Norman's older sister, who yes. is very mean to him off the top.
Yeah,
but as someone that has a younger brother, I just must say,
I love it. You're just yeah,
a little bit of that's deserved.
Be petty.
Okay,
be
you
petty
haven't
girl.
Seen you haven't seen what has happened leading up to this. Okay. The fucking noisemakers, the torture, the fucking, you know that kid's taking over the TV whenever he wants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You never get a hold of the remote. All he wants to watch is zombies. Ugh, it's ridiculous.
So true.
Don't you get enough of this? Look around. Okay, go outside. It's TV outside. There's dead people everywhere.
It's TV outside.
It's TV outside. Go outside.
Yeah, and there's also a thing where it's like every single one of us is weird in our own way, you know, our weird little quirks. And there's always mm-hmm. this point when you're a kid where you are the weird person you're going to be, but you mm-hmm. have not grown into it yet. And your siblings are there for that entire weird and uncomfortable journey, you know? Like, whatever makes you,
yeah.
they saw when it was, like, raw dough.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's going to give you E. coli if you eat it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure my brother could tell you a couple of tales about me, no question.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And like, the first thing we see her being mean about, too, is Norman's asked to take out the trash, mm-hmm. and he kind of carelessly walks into her with a bag of
okay.
gross trash. That is absolutely something you can snap at your younger brother for. You mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. fucking weirdo. Watch where you're going with the trash. You got trash juice all over me.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I prefer this much more than siblings that kiss on the lips. I got to be honest with you. I prefer this much more. Sorry.
Where did that come from?
I'm sorry. I've just yes? been on some weird
if
Twitter threads recently.
Yeah, that's the spectrum.
Yeah, like I'm just saying. If those are the choices.
Yell at your brother for getting trash yeah. juice on you yeah. and kissing on the lips. I didn't know that.
I'm just saying.
Wow. I feel like there's even more on like to the right of trash juice, but
well,
all right.
Well, and there's more on the other side of kissing on the lips, unfortunately, as well.
Oh.
God, we always go off the rails, man. Fuck. And it's my fault every time. yeah, no, I don't think the sister's a real problem. Like,
yeah.
She kind of helps him a bit. She also, like, okay, and I want to make
a big come around moment.
I want to make a defense. Like, I obviously, nobody's giving Norman the help he needs, mm-hmm. okay? And that's very obvious, okay? But I also would argue that none of these people are equipped to deal with this.
Yeah.
And it's probably like maybe Norman could be a little more subtle about how much he talks to dead people. Maybe it's like, Norman, maybe keep it under your hat a little bit, buddy. Like, no, yeah. everybody else thinks this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we're just a bit.
Yeah. Haley Joel Osment in a little bit. Like...
Just tuck it.
Yeah, I Haley Joel Osmonding it as a way to describe the fact that you hide the fact that you can see dead people is like the most specific like, you know how we need a short form for hiding the fact that you can see dead people?
That a child can
yeah.
see dead
yeah,
people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we use it so often that we just call it Haley yeah. Joel Osment, which is almost as long.
Yeah. Well, you could HJO it a little.
Yeah, HJO.
Which very much sounds like an acronym for a hand job.
Yeah,
yes!
It does, right? Oh, by the way, I'm just going to, now that we're on this topic, BJJ, okay. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. every time I see a sign for BJJ, I'm just like, what are you doing? Yeah. I know what it means. I'm a mature adult. I giggle a little bit every time
but what
I
do
see
you,
it.
What would it be?
What would the other, the blow second job?
Blowjob job. Yeah. It's blowjob job. I'm not.
That sounds like a person that only had their only job is for blowjobs.
Yeah, 100%.
It's my blowjob job. It's,
yeah,
and working they in the BJJ sector.
Yeah, and they've got a whole studio where people go there apparently, and they advertise it.
All right.
I'm not great with acronyms, is what I'll say. I also call DIY, so do it yourself. Frequently refer to it as DYI, like I just flip it around.
Oh yeah.
So like Kat and I always say, it's like, oh, do yourself, idiot. Like,
yeah.
So it's like I did
do
this
yourself,
DYI. Do yourself, idiot.
I gotta tell you, Craig, every time you drop in one of your hot, you're just like, you're in betweens with you and Kat, I'm just like, they're so fucking funny every fucking time. Like, being in your house must be so fun. Like,
yeah,
it is.
That's great.
It's like, I can't stop thinking about just throw a lamp at my head.
Oh, yeah, from our Dear Evan Hansen episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We were very briefly considering making the theme of our wedding Everyone Sucks But Us.
That's so sweet.
Buddy, I fucking
love
that.
Sorry to family members who are listening. So,
Everyone sucks but us. But come on, do it. Do it. I love that, man.
But like, if we can, like, yes. Just getting back to the dad and like the uncle in this sense, where you said like nobody has the equipment or no one is well equipped to help him with this.
Except for the uncle.
Well, that's what I mean. And like, so going back to the unfinished business thing, like it seems like there's supposed to be like an Obi-Wan Kenobi, like we share the same thing. Once you come of age, I am going to show you the ropes of this, how to hide it, how to Haley Joel Osment it, if you will, on HJJ.
HJO.
I love how you proved yourself right.
Yeah,
within,
a hand job.
30 seconds. That's awesome. Yes.
My brain was literally not fast enough to acronize Haley Joel Osment there. But like that's like that seems to be what that relationship should have been, because and to be fair, the dad is in the way of this happening any sooner than like Norman being 18, because he's like, do not talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And like, you don't want to be the uncle talking to the kid. Against
the dad's
wishes.
Yeah.
That is valid.
Right?
Yeah, that's probably not the move.
So I think in terms of unfinished business, you've got to stick around until,
absolutely.
Like...
Absolutely, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's a kid.
But yeah.
I will, you know, and this is just occurring to me too, like, as far as the dad's, like, villainishness goes, like, the mom is so sweet, but she's so submissive. Like, I feel like she's, like, he's so angry. Like, he's, like, out of 10 all the time. And she's just, like, so beaten down. She's just like...
I did catch that vibe a little bit. Like, I was a little worried about that.
Yeah.
There's some backstory here that's not resolved.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... I mean, it is a kid's movie, but I think that's more real.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that any other way. Like, that's, I would say, like, accurate. Mm-hmm. And... the only thing I wish is that I don't feel like what she says to Norman is really good and accurate and real, but I don't think she says it to her husband.
Yeah,
and it's like,
in the sense
of like, she's like, listen, he's not scared of you. He's scared for you. He's scared of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. He cares about you. Like, this is what this reaction is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes out as mean or violent or whatever, but it's just because he loves you and he cares about you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's like a valid thing to say, but that's something that you should probably also say to him and be like, could you knock it the fuck off?
Yeah.
Like, you can't ground a kid for this.
No.
You can't ground a kid for this because
and hope to solve anything.
Because also, like, if you look at it like it's a metaphor for anything, right? grounding a kid for being themselves, like just being out there and being themselves, all they're going to do, all that's going to do is teach them to hide themselves.
100%.
Because I don't want to get in trouble for who I am. Yes, exactly.
He wants.
Like, it's just like they'll just stop talking to you about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not going anywhere. It's not going to stop happening, yeah. man. Like, yeah. what are you doing? Don't ground this kid.
Take off, like, as soon as you can. Yeah.
Which happens.
You're right. It is sort of a metaphor for so many different things.
Mm-hmm. I will say, just a side note, Norman has one of the best ringtones. That Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. I laughed so fucking hard.
I was like, I want that on my phone. Yeah. Straight up. That's so funny.
And then Neil outside the window be like, you want to play hockey?
Neil! He's so fucking cute.
You know
who
was another
God.
Villain? It was the bully, Alvin.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course we have to talk about
and
Alvin.
I could not... That was like... I loved it, but it was ridiculous that the bully was in the play. The bully would never be in a theater production. Right? Were your bullies different?
Was it... Maybe it was mandatory?
That's what I'm thinking.
But there's only like 6 of them in the play.
That's fair.
But also, it's stop motion, so we're not going to design a whole other character.
Okay.
No, but I love
Leave him
that.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you knew he was going to have redemption.
Yeah. You're right, yeah.
Okay, he was open to new things.
Yeah, he's already sensitive.
He's already into new things.
Yeah, and alternatively, he's in the play as punishment.
Ah.
Right? Doesn't want to be in
is
it.
He?
You have to do
maybe.
I'm just saying,
just
maybe,
we're pitching
right?
plot lines.
Because, like, yeah. this again is a town that's like, this school play is actually very economically important
yes.
to our town
yeah.
and perpetuating the mythology that we use to get all this tourism stuff. Like, the teacher is very much concerned with them getting it right.
Mm.
Which maybe goes to your point. Is like, why would he be in there? That,
yeah.
like, that would be like yeah. the A students or whatever.
Although
like
I will say I have never met a drama teacher that had all their hinges on. you know what I mean? And I mean, like, so not, like, it's just like some of them are like really out there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you fall into dread. Like, they take their job serious.
They
take it so serious.
They do have a real comedian light energy to
them. Yeah. It's like I group drama weird. Teachers in with French teachers. I'm like, you guys Ooh. Are the same. There's very similar energies here. Okay. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know. That I was in French immersion, and that's just I don't know, I'm having a light bulb moment about it. My whole experience.
Buddy, I tell you, they're all wild.
I just assumed that was what teachers were like. That's
No. That's like a specific to, like, every math and science teacher I think I've ever had has been like pretty chill, just kind of like, hey, here's what's going on. This is the stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Every drama teacher's like, theta! They're like, all right, okay.
A lot of French teachers are super, like, dramatic as
no,
well.
No, yes, yeah. big. Yeah. Big. Like, my drama teacher, or sorry, my French teacher one time embarrassed me. So she was so, like, she would just say things in the middle of the class. It was insane. We were all silent, okay? Everybody in the class was silent. We were doing an assignment. And she goes, Rebecca, you just have the most beautiful hands. I think you could be a hand model. And she says that to me, and I'm like, girl, like, first of all, no. Like, they're fine.
Really
they're all right. Okay, they're
fine.
Okay, but what I genuinely think this woman was doing is I think she didn't like me.
Oh.
And she was like, get her.
Oh. Nice.
You can't like, get, she's not going to get in trouble for saying something nice to me, but grade 7 is not going to let this go. Okay.
No,
grade 7 isn't going to let this one go. Everybody's asking to see my hands at lunch. It's the worst.
That's
it was
wild.
The worst. But they're on something.
Did you find you like thought about your hands more
I have,
after that?
I literally, since she has moved the trajectory of my life.
Wow.
Okay, like ever since she said that to me, like I bring up this story,
sure.
but also sometimes I'll catch myself like looking at my hands going like, they're not that nice.
Right.
Like, she got in my head in such a specific way. It was very clever. If it was her intention, she's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
She's a goddamn genius.
That's so interesting because I feel like somewhat self-conscious about my hands. I don't, you know, that's, but I didn't even have anyone draw attention to them like that. That would probably,
crazy.
That would have ruined me.
Hands. Huh. I don't think.
Women's experience, man. It's
Listen, I know it's tough for women and you got weird body. I thought we were generally good with hands. No. This is new for me.
Buddy.
You can find
things to hate everywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah. I don't think I've thought of my hands until I've so hurt them.
That scene in Mean Girls is very accurate when she's talking about like her nail beds and stuff. And she's just like, oh yeah, they suck. And it's like, yeah, that's women. Yeah. There it is.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Whereas I like accidentally like cut my finger pretty badly with a saw, like a hand saw. So it didn't like it. But I was just like, oh. I'm a man. Look at my hand.
Oh my God.
It hurts. Why does this feel so good? Like, why do I feel like a man because of this?
It's like, I could never have cut my hand with a handsaw because I would have been staring at my hand, obsessing over how weird it looked.
It's a safety feature, actually.
Yeah.
Women
always
lose
aware of their hands.
A lot less limbs because we're so concerned about the beauty of them that we're like, how are my arms doing today?
You know, I'm not sure that's the reason, but I'm sure that statistic holds up.
Oh, it absolutely does. Okay. It's like that. I watched a TikTok like when that whole like Titanic thing was happening, and just one woman was like, you know who's not at the bottom of the ocean? Women.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Oh my God. Okay.
So does the bully have a comer? Like, what does he even do, the bully?
My argument would be that he becomes friends with Norman.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Like, he learns a lesson in the sense of, like, I don't think after he's gone through this adventure, I don't think he's going to slip back into bullying.
No, probably not. Yeah. Because Norman, like, saved him.
Norman saved him. Norman's his buddy. Norman's pretty, like, chill. You know what I mean? Norman's going to even him out. Okay? He's got a better crew to roll with. Okay? Norman's not going to laugh at bullying. These other thugs were. Mm-hmm. No, they're gone. Yeah. They're done. Okay? My friend can talk to the dead.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty sick. I also love the concept. I'm sorry. I'm just veering off. Just one second. I love the idea that Neil's, or like honestly any child, would the first thing they would be like is like, can we go see my dog? I think that's the fucking cutest. I'm like, yes, of course that would be the thing. Yeah. That's fucking adorable.
If you're trying to make a new friend and like trying to impress a new friend, of course you're gonna,
No, you're
pull
come
out
over.
The fake gun. Yeah.
Yeah, come see my dead dog.
Yes. We buried
it. Yeah, and I just love also Neil's
I forgot the dog was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like sliced in two. Yeah, he was hit by an animal rescue van, is what they say.
Really?
He goes, it was pretty tragic and ironic, was Neil's thing.
It's so funny because I loved this movie. I watched this movie, but I was drinking a weed drink throughout.
We
so
have those.
I have like there's just blank spots on the movie.
And that's fair.
It's like I'm so glad to have this opportunity to learn more about the movie I really liked.
But I would also argue that this movie is one of those movies that you should watch a couple of times because you're going to miss stuff.
I was like planning to watch it again today. Mm. Didn't get to, but
there you go. Yeah, like I just feel like there's stuff. There's the writing's too good. There's too much attention to detail here. Mm. Every sign is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Every little thing, and I'm like, I'm certain I missed stuff. Like little background sets, or even a little line, or whatever. Things loop together.
Yeah. Like when they're trying to find where she's buried, reading all the death certificates. Neil, funny joke is that he takes forever to read like one page, so he's not going to be any help. But like, you see him later reading a pamphlet called "Sewage and You." Like, again, it's not necessary for anything. I noticed it, and I had like a little chuckle to myself. I was like, yeah. That's funny. I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
Yeah, man. Plus, this movie's like tight.
Hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, I love
it's
that.
It's gorgeous to watch.
That's the thing. Stop motion movies. Mm, they're so never going to have a superfluous scene, right?
That is true. Everything needs to be there.
Oh, my God, yeah. Imagine like Judd Apatow trying to make a stop motion movie.
They're fucking way over budget.
It takes like 8 years.
Yeah. I see stop motion, I always think of the scene from Parks and Recreation where he loses his job and he's like, look, I've been doing stop motion. Look at what I have so far. And it's like literally like 2 seconds. Yeah. And he goes, oh, I thought I had way more than that. Just gives up.
Would a depressed man make this? Yes, it's perfect. It's fucking perfect. As somebody, because I used to do that with my dolls, like I've talked about it a couple of times on here. Like I had, I had these like little clown dolls, and so like they would murder my Barbies.
Wow.
So I would set up like a little studio with like lights and stuff, with lamps and like tin foil and all this kind of stuff. So like I get it. Yeah.
that's your talking to dead people.
Yes. Oh no, I was a weird kid. Yeah. Okay. No, for sure I was a weird kid. Okay.
Yeah, and Rebecca's brother probably just walked by the door, looked in, was like, "This fucking weirdo," this and just kept going. Yes. Right? 'Cause that's what siblings do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
it's that time.
I think the townspeople, unforgivable. They learned their lesson, but they weren't forgiven. Mm-hmm. Like they were punished, I think, for what they did, rightfully.
Yes.
I think everyone else kind of comes around. I'm really on Aggie's side here.
Yeah.
Yes. Man. Yeah.
On the side of the child murdered by the state and dumped
I'm
in an unmarked grave.
I'm absolutely on your side, but I mean, I also think she went a bit overboard, I do think.
Nah, be a petty bitch.
Yeah, no, I'm
petty,
sorry.
Petty.
Put
petty,
to sleep petty, for 300 petty. Years while the town benefits financially from the legend of your death.
Yes, absolutely. No,
little, you can be way saltier
but
than
but she didn't even know that part, did she? Like, she
I feel
was
like
mad
she's
at
got
the,
like
she
paranormal
just,
knowing.
I guess so.
Gotta be talking to somebody. Absolutely, yeah. Guys. I think it is time to rank that villain. Okay, I have the Parascale, and I'm obviously I'm ranking the witch. Obviously, so from a parachute to a parasite, I am going to.
Sorry, do my B-reel.
I am going to give. I'm going to give Aggie a parasocial. You were wronged. Parasocial relationship. You were wronged. This was wrong. I feel so bad for you. You were giving your heart and soul to a community that was not giving it back to you. What do you got for us, Claire?
So my scale is regarding the present day townspeople.
Mm.
This is the are you helping or hurting scale. the scale is from methadone clinics to the NRA, and I'm giving and I'm hoping that I'm understanding this assignment.
No, I get what you're doing. I understand where we're going. Yes, I love it. I love
for
it.
For the record, I think methadone clinics are helping.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No, I got that.
I'm giving them fans who continue to champion Kanye West.
Ooh, okay. They're hurting.
Okay. Hey, what do you got, Craig?
Yeah, so I've got the Norman scale. Mm. So on a scale from Norman Rockwell to Norman Bates, I am giving the witch a spiny Norman, the 600-foot hedgehog from Monty Python's Flying Circus. You know. Okay, Spidey Norman. All right, great. I was worried this was a little too niche.
I honestly don't know who it is. Oh, I don't care who it is. That's just funny. Yeah.
Is this 600-foot? Hedgehog from the Monty Python Flying Circus. Because she's a little prickly, but I understand her. You know?
Yeah, that's nice.
And guys, we're going to get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, a couple ways that you can help out the podcast. So first of all, if you have a couple bucks you want to throw us, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you can contribute to the artists that you love and get great benefits in return. So for us, if you want to listen, we've got two bonus episodes every month. Rebecca picks a bad one. This month it's Crossroads, and I pick
the Britney Spears Crossroads.
To
be clear,
yeah, and I pick maybe like a hidden gem or something like that. So that month for Spooky Month, it's Freaky, the Vince Vaughn Freaky Friday the 13th, essentially is what it is, and we talk about those movies. We also have early releases. You can get episodes on Tuesdays rather than Thursdays. Can participate in audience choice, whatever tier works for you. You can go check it out. If you want to get in touch with us,
if you would like to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at VWR Podcast. You can email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Villain Was Right. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok. Again, Villain Was Right. You want to see our stupid faces speaking words? You go there. Okay, do it. Okay? And if you like the podcast, leave us a rating. That helps us out so much. And if you don't like us, scream it into a pillow as usual. And now it is time for our heroes.
But wait.
Yes.
Do you guys get a lot of emails?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, we do get a lot of emails.
More than we can answer.
Yes. We're working on it.
We'll get.
Listen, team. Okay. Actually, you know what? I would like to take this moment to speak to the team. Listen up, team. Okay. If you have sent us an email and you receive a response back 3 months later, just pretend that's normal.
Yeah.
Just pretend that's normal. We're working on it. I'm trying. I feel like my brain's
in a...
That's a pretty chill amount of time, honestly. I think you
guys cool. Okay, I feel like my brain's in a cheese grater every time I have to answer an email. It has nothing to do with you. This is absolutely a me problem. I have executive dysfunction. Okay, Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's not the point.
We love to hear from you is the point.
Yes, we do love to hear from you. We read all of them right away. We may have done something you've asked for, and we haven't even responded to you. Well, I think I've done that a few times now. I'm going to take that. That's awesome. Great suggestion.
Good news. We already did it.
Good news. We already did it, and only based off of your request. Whoops. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Time for Heroes and Villains of the Week. I don't know what got me on this. I think it was because of Norman's hair and how he can't do anything with it. It's just up.
Except for one moment when it went down and then it went right back up.
Yes. So I have always, I have really straight hair. Okay, I can't do anything. Like, it's straight. It comes out of the wash straight. Okay, there's nothing you can do with it.
I was wondering what it was coming out of straight.
The wash. It's coming out of the wash straight.
Comes right out of the old noggin.
Just out of the old dome. Just keeps coming in straight. Straight. More straight. That's so funny. And I think what also made me think about this was We Didn't Get a Rose, another podcast. We've had Mike and Chris on before this podcast, and we were covering Drive Me Crazy. And I think I might have talked about this on the podcast, but I think it needs to be reiterated. Okay. I do not make hair good decisions. Okay. I do not make
hair good decisions.
I don't.
Hair bad decisions.
They're hair bad. They're hair bad decisions. Okay. So one time I went and I got my hair cut at like a First Choice or something. And I don't know how this was possible, but they made me look like a fucking poodle. Okay, they made me look terrible, all right? So then the next time I was going to get my hair cut, I was like, okay. Like, the only reason why I got it done at First Choice was because, like, this is so funny. My parents were like, no, you can get your hair cut at home. Okay, we were a haircut at home family.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, you can get your hair cut at home, and if you want to get it elsewhere, you can pay for it. Okay. So, and fair enough. Okay. Like,
I
want to honestly
read your autobiography. I'm so fascinated.
So, yeah, we were a big haircut at home team. And my mom was, and bless her heart. Okay, she's pretty good, not too bad at cutting hair, except for the fact that it would be so much shorter than you wanted every time. So I'd always try and like lowball her and be like, oh, I want an inch off when I wanted like three or whatever. Yeah. Because my mom would do this thing where she'd finish, quote unquote finish, and she'd step back and she'd look at me and she'd go, well, that isn't even at all, is it? And I'm like, all right, here we go again, man. Anyway, and one time I convinced myself, I watched Drive Me Crazy with Melissa Joan Hart, and I saw her in her little bob in that movie, and I went, yes. I said yes to life. I was like, I'm about to make a teen decision this evening. I'm going to look great in that. And I got this bob cut, buddy, and I got to tell you, You couldn't be closer to a mushroom cut. Not quite. Okay, like we didn't, but we were right up in there. And I have never looked worse in my fucking life. I gotta tell you, I couldn't.
Claire's face right now is classic. You're grimacing.
I'm so scared, and I'm like, I keep thinking, I'm like, this is too scary for me. Like I told her, I'm like, scary movies. Like, I can't.
Dude, when I tell you I wore a hat for weeks, is this the reason why I only get my hair cut once a year? I do not know. Have I just thought about this in this moment and gone, maybe that's it? Sure.
Yeah.
I also might just be because I'm a cheap motherfucker and come from a family where it's like, well, we can cut our hair at home. And now I'm like, what? It's $70. $70. Like, we're not paying $70 out in these streets. Anyway, that's my own problem and my own issue. Anyway, that's it for me.
So the villain is the haircut?
The villain is
or
the
yourself.
Haircut.
Okay.
It's, you know what? Actually, you're right. It is me.
Okay.
It is me. The call was coming from inside the house. That was me. It's me.
But now you're the hero because you've sort of therapized yourself
yes,
through
I'm
this grown. Rooted issue.
So traumatic. Claire, what do you have for us? Do you want a hero, villain?
Okay, this is. I have a quick thing I want to say before my hero
of
and
course.
Villain, if that's okay. Because I did just recently get a haircut. I cut a lot of hair off. My hair was like a lot longer before
yes,
this.
It was. It looks great, though.
Thank
I love
it. Thank you so much. And I got it. And it turned out I had the appointment scheduled and I got it and it just happened to fall into a week that was like a really difficult week mental health wise. Just a lot of stuff happened, but I loved my haircut. And just like a few days, like I was just really digging myself out of this hole. And I just had this moment in the bathroom like, oh, I love my hair. And then I was like, oh my God, imagine this week if I didn't like my haircut.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, thank God I
that's
liked
like
my
the,
haircut.
That's like the burnt toast. You know what I mean? When you get to the end of your rope and you burn your toast and you're like, well, I'm flipping every table in this house right now.
Absolutely. I'm like, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be screaming at the end of a pier in Halifax.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, wouldn't have got on a flight. No. That's so funny.
Okay, my hero villain story. I've been in airports a lot this weekend, so... just brimming with villains. Everyone's a villain at the airport, I think. It turns everyone evil. So my story is one villain, two heroes, if that's okay.
I love that. Absolutely, that's okay.
Okay, so I was flying to Atlanta, and the planes from Toronto to Atlanta are, like, really small. They're, like, old planes. And they were, like, really trying to encourage people to let them check your bag, but I hate that pressure that they put on you at the last minute. It's like, you let me, like, you just do what you said you were going to do. So I, like, checked my bag. It, like, fit in the sizing device, but, it was snug. And I got on the plane, and I'm trying to get my suitcase in the overhead thing. And somebody nearby, I don't know who it was, but somebody was sort of with, like, a helpful tone, was like, oh, going to fit? And I was like, it should, like, it fit in the sizing device. And I was trying, but it was struggling. And there was this man waiting behind me. We'll call him the villain.
Oh.
he's like, but I didn't even know it at the time that he was the villain. Cause he's like, doesn't look like it. Like, don't think so. And he's saying it so condescendingly. And there's like a lineup behind him. And it's already such a, I don't know. For me,
I get so stressed. I'm stressed.
The situation is so stressful. So I like. I'm just like, I immediately give up. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then, like, what do I do? And fortunately, I'm supposed to be the window seat, but the man in the aisle seat in my row, we'll call him Hero One.
Yeah.
He, like, just hops over into the window seat and he starts helping me try and, like, cram my suitcase under the seat. And we managed to get under the seat, but then I've got to sit with my feet up on the suitcase the whole flight, like with my knees at my chin.
And you're tall.
I'm kind of tall.
Yeah, you're a tall lady.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable. And he was crazy tall, and he had booked the aisle seat, but he jumped into the window seat to try and help. Yeah, yeah. And then on the flight home, it's the same plane, and I'm like, there's fewer people. So I'm like, it should fit. I know it should fit. And I'm like trying to get it in. And there's a guy waiting behind me. We'll call him Hero 2. And he's like, I see him waiting for me. And I'm like, you can just go. You can just pass if you want. And he's like, no, it's okay. Take your time. And then one more second, it goes in.
Like,
no problem.
Right angle.
You just needed to not
in.
Have stress in your body.
Like, not a condescending man right behind me. And then I didn't even end up having anyone next to me on that flight. And I just spent the entire flight fuming mad at that man.
From
the first flight. That villain that made me sit with my feet up and my knees at my chin the whole fucking... Anyway.
Isn't that the truth, though? Anytime I try and do something and I'm stressed out, I can't get it done. And the second I'm calm, I'm like, wow, that was so...
It was so easy.
I have to talk to myself like I'm a toddler all the fucking time. I'm like... calm the fuck down.
Oh, truly.
Okay, you can't do this right now.
And Hero
calm
two,
down.
Hero 2 was even like, yeah, he was like, take your time. And then when it went in, he was like, oh, like magic. Like, yeah, he was like, yeah, so supportive and encouraging.
Yeah, I love that. That was a great double hero villain story.
all rolled in one. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
My story is also travel related.
Oh,
so,
shit.
So
I listened to the Meg McKay episode. I love it. It was all raccoon related.
Oh,
yeah. We lined up.
We get a theme going.
Yeah, we did raccoons and then we did TTC
back to back.
We're all on the same sort of wavelength, I guess, as people. But mine is travel related. This is like years and years ago. I think this might have been like 2012 or whatever. And I was in New York, and it was my first time visiting New York. I was like by myself. You know, I think I was in a comedy festival there or something. So I was like going around and I was doing like.
I love that you're not sure.
No, I was. I was. Yeah, yeah. Was it a comedy festival? It was the BJJ Comedy Festival. Anyway. So I'm in New York. I'm walking around. I'm doing all the touristy stuff, right? Like so obviously I'm going to go to the Empire State Building. Mm-hmm. Like, not only do I like, you know, architecture stuff like that, but it's the Empire State Building in fucking New York City. You're going to go. And like I walk by and there's like all these, like, I will call them kids, sitting around trying to sell these like packages to like go up to the Empire State Building. And like, I'm not naive. I know that these are like touristy trap, like, almost scams or whatever. And like the first day I'm walking by, it's like so overcast and foggy. You can't see like 3 feet in front of you. So I'm like, I'm not going up in the Empire State Building on a foggy day. But this guy's like, yeah, well, when you come back, you should get this package. Cause like what it is basically like it's a ticket that lets you lets you skip the line and like go up to the top. And then there's like some like attractions and things that you do, but then you go right to the observation deck. And I was like, all right, like, this is probably like a bit of a scam. But like, so I do like a stupid like touristy thing in the Empire State Building and then go up to the thing. It's like, and I don't have to stand in the line. It's like, fuck it, I'll spend the money. So like I come back the next day or whatever, it's like bright and sunny and I buy it from one of these guys. And then the first thing it says on this ticket was, this is not a line bypass ticket. This is not like this.
Oh, fuck.
And I was just like, okay. Like, whatever.
Wow.
So like, it's a separate elevator or something. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, and then they take you to this, like, it's like the New York experience or whatever. And it's one of those, you know, those motion tracking rides, right? That, like, and it flies you through New York City. Oh, and it's narrated by Kevin Bacon. And this thing. This thing has not been maintained since the early 90s when Kevin Bacon
was relevant
and would have recorded this, right? So the whole thing is just so out of sync and janky. Like, not like, you know, like the fluid motion. Like, you do this at Disneyland or something.
Yeah.
Like you hear it go like, and I'm sitting like in the back. I'm just like, oh my God. And I'm like, how long is this? This is like, it's like a 5 minute ride. And I am so nauseous as they're like doing this helicopter thing through Manhattan. And then comes the thing. It's like, we choose to keep the Twin Towers in as a sign of respect.
To who?
And this is like 2012, 20 something like this.
Oh.
It's been like a solid decade.
Dude, you can't.
So they yeah.
As
and
a sign of respect.
No. Yeah.
Bro, it's like, I kept this carpet here as a sign of respect to all the smokers that came through in the 90s. What do you mean, bro?
Yeah, so they paid Kevin Bacon to redo the voice saying the Twin Towers are here in this thing because someone had paid a helicopter to fly through Manhattan once and then they've been selling it. I got off this ride and I was so unbelievably nauseous. Like there wasn't even any walls. Like, it was just a platform. Like, I could see the stable ground. And I was just like, if I could just step off like 3 feet onto this, I'd be so much better. Anyway, Empire State Building's real nice.
Yeah.
Great, but I got scammed so bad on this.
I mean, it's not New York unless you get scammed once.
But then
do they just stay there? Are they just there when you leave and you're like...
Oh, yeah. And then, like, you have to get, like, back in line. And then, like, you go... It kind of got me up there faster. But, like, you realize the line moves pretty quick anyway.
But the guy that sells you the ticket... Like,
they're, like, down at the base of the Empire
State. So you walk right by them again.
I think so,
yeah. And it's just... How do they...
It's, it's that American confidence, man.
Yes.
It's that American confidence. I do not have it. Like,
none of us do.
Part of me was like, good for you.
Yeah,
you,
like, put a little respect on it.
You got me.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
You know, fool me once.
Yeah.
Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. That sort of thing. Anyway, glad to see Kevin Bacon's doing a little better now.
Oh my god.
But yeah, that's it for us this week on the podcast. Rebecca, where can people get in touch with you?
As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Claire, where can people find you?
Okay, if any of you happen to be in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia this weekend, I have a show at the Sandbar on the 19th, and then on Friday the 20th we're doing the Highland Arts Theater. I've never been, but I hear it's a beautiful theater, so you should come to that. If you're in Kentville, Nova Scotia, I've got the show in 3 years. But otherwise, you can find me at Clarble, C-L-A-R-B-L-E, on Instagram and TikTok.
Amazing, yeah. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok now.
Me too, so just fresh. It's fresh.
Yeah. I've been checking out your stuff. It's very funny.
Oh, thank you.
It's great. Yeah, check out Claire's stuff. And that's it for us this week, guys. Tune in next week. It's our audience choice episode for Weird and Spooky Month. And you guys said it's going to be Bedazzled with the devil. We're gonna defend the devil.
Like Elizabeth Hurley?
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, Brandon Fraser. Yes. It was close, but you picked Fraser it.
Forgot. I know, I love him.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one for sure. So tune in for that. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to own your weirdness.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.